It is the State Capitol Report in the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We meet two members of a new coalition aiming to fast-track Wisconsin's clean energy goals. Governor Tony Evers wants to see net zero in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. That's a target with dramatic implications to our state's economy. Call in with questions about the clean energy economy and what is possible. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Alex Butts is executive director of the Environmental Justice and Infrastructure Initiative for the Walnut Way Conservation Corporation. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Good morning. And do I have your name right? Antonio Midorsky or is Alex Midorsky?
I think we flipped the first names. I'm Alex Midorsky.
I think the
that's I'm Antonio Butts.
Yes, hi, Antonio Butts. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. Alex Midorsky is Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy in Wisconsin. Alex, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to start with you, Alex. Why form this new coalition? What's behind it?
I think behind this coalition is a real urgency among people to grow our state's clean energy economy, to combat climate change, get to that 2050 net zero goal, and to keep jobs and grow jobs in the state of Wisconsin. We don't have coal to dig here in the state, nor do we have gas to drill for. So if we want to create and grow jobs, really our choice, the only choice and the one that is good for the sake of conservation, is to grow those jobs. And the bigger tent we have to do that, the more effective we're going to be in accomplishing those goals.
Antonio, this was founded by 12 or so organizations. How did this come together? How did this coalition figure out that they needed each other and decide that, you know, we're going to do something collectively?
Yeah, across the state, we know that there are environmental justice and climate change and sustainability stakeholders who have been doing this work for decades. And now that we're coming to this point where there's a tremendous amount of possibility with these most recent legislative wins, this is a big opportunity for us all to come together. And it's really about, like Alex was leaning into, people first and recognizing, you know, that we have unique circumstances across the states in various targeted areas, but we all sort of comfortably fall under that sustainability umbrella where we can find some commonalities to work towards together so that we can achieve our sustainability goals for the state of Wisconsin. It's one of those things where, you know, we don't have to choose between the environment or good jobs or economics. We have to protect the environment and address climate change and create jobs. We have to do all of these things at the same time. And this is why this group has come together.
Alex, what is the commitment like for member organizations? What do you expect of coalition members?
What we expect of one another is productive work on a number of the pillars we've established as common goals, whether that be environmental justice, whether that be thriving landscapes through things like smart siting and natural climate solutions. These are goals that we've all united around and everything we can agree on. It's not easy with a coalition this large to really form solidly and coherently around a set of principles. But thanks to our commitment to one another, I believe we've been able to do that.
What happens when you have disagreements? I mean, you know, what happens when you're not on the same page and have a single vision?
So I think one great thing about this coalition is we've got a lot of different committees and working groups to discuss when we do have disagreements and to really work through things based on scientific data and based on really the art of the possible, what we think can be accomplished politically and what we think is best in terms of mitigating carbon releases in this state. So It has been a congenial and convivial process, but when there are different perspectives, we work through those very well.
Antonio, you know, how does that feel when there are naturally going to be competing interests because all of these organizations come from different perspectives?
Well, this is our big opportunity to sort of all row in the same direction. Again, back to Alex's point, because primarily we know that our North Star is around these sustainability goals, not only in our local communities, in the state, the country, quite frankly, across the globe. So we've come into this, all of us, with some very clear values around diversity, inclusiveness, willingness to listen. And we all know that this work only moves as fast as, you know, the speed of trust. And so a lot of spaces have been created so that we can have the dialogue, continue to prioritize our issues, and basically find some shared meaning around things, again, to that point about commonality, so that we could create the critical mass to continue to move these efforts forward, again, around our sustainability goals.
Talking about this new statewide Clean Economy Coalition of Wisconsin with Antonio Butts and Alex Madorsky, you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Tom in Whitewater. Tom, what would you like to bring up?
Thanks for having me. I just wanted to comment on something that may be a little bit more of a national thing. Over the weekend, the Biden administration talked about their push for electric cars by a certain deadline fairly soon. And one of the things I haven't heard discussed as part of that discussion is how people are going to afford it. Right now, we have such a massive problem with income inequality that most Americans can't afford to go buy a car as it is. And these electric cars are going to be extremely expensive. And no one has explained how that piece of this is going to work. I support it, but there's got to be some economic issues addressed to make this work for most Americans.
Tom, thanks for that question. Antonio, you first.
Yeah, not necessarily a silver bullet or just the answer to your question, but we know that in the Inflation Reduction Act, there are incentives for the purchase of electric vehicles, a certain amount for new vehicles, a certain amount for used vehicles. But you left up a very, very important part of this work. And I think what was being alluded to sort of in the previous comments that we were making, and it's how do we prioritize and really prioritize based on the experiences that individuals and families are having, you know, in their communities economically. And so that's a big part of the work. And back to that point that we have to move all of these things at the same time, but we do have to create spaces to sort of unpack these big trade-offs that we have to make in terms of the sequence of events, because we know it all has to happen. But the question is when and how does it happen? And how is that being done in an equitable and a diverse way?
Alex, what comes up for you as you look at these target goals? And then you also consider what is realistic, what is equitable when it comes to even EVs or anything else that will reduce emissions?
I think it's a great question. And I'd like to echo Antonio as well as Tom. If we want to meet 2050 climate goals with things like electric vehicles, we have to make sure that those vehicles are going to be accessible to working class folks as well as charging stations. Right now, as Tom pointed out, for a lot of people, it's difficult to afford the idea of investing in even a used carbon-based vehicle, and then electric vehicles can be more. So we need to explore incentives like those included in the Inflation Reduction Act and invest in these technologies, because the more we do so, the more people will be able to afford them, and we can amp up that access in an equitable way.
Turning to Wisconsin here, Governor Evers creating the state's first clean energy plan. It has 71 immediate actions. Where do you suggest starting with these recommendations from the coalition's perspective? Antonio, what do you see? Antonio, can you hear us? Alex?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, on the mute. All right, go ahead.
Deal with this. So absolutely, with us having to move all of these various topics, you know, all at the same time, you know, prioritizing will be basically an ongoing process. And so the work is honestly process over product. But specific to what the governor has laid out and all of the stakeholders have contributed to, I think that these questions, in some sense, will be answered from a geographical perspective. So some things will move at the same time. I don't necessarily want to go into any specific areas, but more so talk about this process and this work where we'll be able to lift up what's important based on those various issues to geographic locations and help the local stakeholders and municipalities in those areas really get targeted about the solutions coming out of their community that align with the governor's long-term goals.
Okay, so geographic important there. Alex, what surfaces for you as what the coalition can move on with these, with the clean energy plan and these 71 actions?
I think the strength of this coalition lies in all of the different areas of expertise the members bring to the table. Antonio's knowledge, for example, and work experience on environmental justice has really informed my views. The Nature Conservancy, among other things, is bringing knowledge on natural climate solutions and thriving landscapes, sustainable forestry and agriculture. Each member has something to bring to the table, and there's a lot that's possible if we have the appropriate ambition.
We're at the intersection of environmental and economic policy changes in our state. Alex Modorsky and Antonio Butts, they're members of the new Clean Economy Coalition of Wisconsin. Join in with questions and comments about clean energy, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the transition to clean energy and Wisconsin achieving net zero emissions by 2050, we meet two members of the new statewide Clean Economy Coalition of Wisconsin. Antonio Butts and Alex Modorsky are here. Call in with questions and comments about the economic impacts of climate change. What's ahead for our state? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mark in Dodgeville. Mark, hi. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really support the goals. I hope to get there sooner. But I have a great concern when we put up large transmission lines from west of us that will bring in questionable energy. The figures are available from the Energy Information Administration, EIA.gov, that show those states west of us produce about half from coal, only about a quarter from wind, and almost nothing from solar. And the wind energy, being small facilities, generally gets used locally. So we seem to be getting half coal and a lot less than a quarter wind, not very green energy. The Public Service Commission professional staff recommended against the last line, the Badger Coulee, and the line they're currently building, Cardinal Hickory Creek. But in both cases, the political appointees, the three commissioners, approved those lines, and they have some huge entanglements with the energy industry. My concern is that transmission lines will keep old coal plants alive a lot longer, will bring in a lot of coal energy to us, even if we don't see the coal burning here in this state. And, of course, they don't create local jobs either.
Mark, thank you.
I wonder what you have to say about that.
Yes, Mark, thank you so much. Alex Modorsky, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that when we think about things like siting transmission lines, it is important to consider the impact on species, habitats, as well as local communities. And it's one reason why we really do need to ramp up the state domestic supply of wind and solar. It helps alleviate some of the concerns that Mark expressed. We also know that retiring coal plants and things in that vein can be a powerful tool for mitigating climate. Specific transmission lines, the coalition doesn't have a position on, but I think that those are certainly things we need to take into account. And as Mark said, the sooner we can get to net zero, the better.
Antonio, how can our state attract and support renewable energy projects for communities, especially communities that have been overlooked or have been underserved?
Yeah, and connecting it to the previous question, I think this goes right back to these targeted solutions that, as we move forward, eventually fully align across the state. I think the big thing or big opportunity here is increased civic engagement across the state, especially in communities that haven't been heard from in terms of initiatives that are going to impact the infrastructure in their communities. And so what becomes important is, do we all know who the Public Service Commission is? Do we all understand the public proceedings process? And how do we increase, you know, outreach and education on the civic aspect of our participation in how decisions get made as it relates to our environment, to our infrastructure? And so that's the big work in terms of how do we raise up the visibility and awareness of these issues and the unintended consequences of the choices that we're making, so that individuals and families can have a line of sight, and also that we can create these pathways and these spaces for those voices to be heard and contribute to how the decisions that are being made. So in short, you know, we have to share in shaping these decisions with everybody who's impacted by the decisions that are being made. And again, I think that goes back to, again, what are the targeted concerns from a geographical standpoint and how those things line up with the bigger, larger issues, like in this case, transmission lines.
What do you envision the coalition's work for racial and economic environmental justice, and how do you see it lining up with what the state wants to create, which is an environmental justice office?
Yeah, that's huge, and that's a major accomplishment in this work. And as we know from the Inflation Reduction Act, there's a huge amount of resources that are being targeted on environmental justice going into local communities across the country. And so as a core partner in the Clean Economy Coalition, a big part of our work is EJII, the Environmental Justice and Infrastructure Initiative. And so we're roughly a little over a year in, and what we've done is established a base of grassroots, smaller community-based organizations to, again, build increased civic participation and awareness around environmental justice issues. But we're connecting those groups to groups across the state who have similar issues who are working through similar municipal processes to lift up their concerns and have their issues addressed. So our work is cross-disciplinary. It's bringing folks together from across a variety of sectors. And where we show up is in, you know, a lot of different environmental justice situations. And it depends in terms of, and what we do depends on what's needed by the partner in terms of addressing that individual or group, small group issue. How it aligns with the state is, again, we all have these common goals around climate mitigation and state sustainability. Mm-hmm. And this is our big opportunity, again, to be able to integrate into a space that hasn't had a lot of diverse participation, and then learn from those groups, share with those groups, and row in the same direction towards our goals. So again, we acknowledge that there are a lot of competing priorities and that there will be a lot of trade-offs. But the coalition, the Clean Economy Coalition, has made a really clear intentional value decision around being very inclusive in this and taking the time to really understand the individual circumstances across the state and make sure that informs the decisions that are being made as we move the work forward, whether we're dealing with government or whether we're dealing at the state level, government at the municipal level, but then all of the stakeholders around the work, corporate, CBOs, individuals, and families.
Permeates economy and government everywhere. Antonio Butts with us, Alex Madorsky, as we talk about the state's clean energy goals and the Clean Economy Coalition of Wisconsin. Let's go to John in Boaz. John, hi.
Good morning. I have an answer for net zero because of my engineering background, I took out a pencil and paper and I figured out that we can go net zero today because the existing coal plants can be converted to high temperature wood, and wood will burn 4,000 BTUs per cord. Now, all we need to do is charge up our cell phones and charge up our batteries for our cars. Using steam power, I have a generator that can produce.
And John, we're short on time, and I want to get a response from Alex here. John, very concerned about seeing a transition away from coal and what your coalition envisions.
Sure. So I can't purport to be an engineer, but I will say that sustainable forestry, whether we talk about a natural carbon sink or different technologies that are coming along, like biochar products, are certainly a big part of the solution to the climate crisis in this state. The Clean Economy Coalition is certainly cognizant of the fact that the North Woods has huge untapped potential for mitigating carbon, and whether it's through things like increasing incomes to farmers and rural prosperity, looking at how to do that kind of carbon farming, it's a solution. I don't think we'll get there today or in one day, but it is part of the picture, so I am glad that John brought it up.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us, Kate.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Antonio Butts is executive director of the Walnut Way Conservation Corporation, a nonprofit in Milwaukee. And Alex Madorsky is associate director of government relations at the Nature Conservancy in Wisconsin, both part of the Clean Economy Coalition of Wisconsin. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.